difference. Sometimes that takes courage, doesn't it? It takes courage sometimes to step out, and sometimes it really takes courage to step out and lay your hands on somebody and pray. Because a lot of times, don't we think we, how many of you ever got in a situation and you're going to pray and you felt like, man, I don't have the right words. I'm not a good prayer. Anybody ever felt that way? Let me reassure you, it's not your prayer that brings the healing or the release or the encouragement or the love. It's not your eloquent words or the way you structure your sentences. It's your obedient heart to the Spirit of God. And when you're in the right place at the right time, you change the atmosphere of the situation. And that's the kind of power that you possess, is atmosphere changing power. But it's only activated through our obedience. And how many times myself standing before you, how many times have I not been obedient to what I knew the Word of God was calling? And I just want to say, at every chance, every opportunity, every Word of God, we want to be obedient to that. And if it's prayer, and if it's extravagant worship, if it's extended worship, if it's falling on our face, if it's crying out on our knees, if the Holy Spirit releases some laughter in the house. I mean, God's joy, God's love, God, He loves us, and He's here with us. And we never want our agenda to supersede God's heavenly purpose. Amen? I want us to be comfortable in uncomfortable situations. I want us to be comfortable in uncomfortable situations, both in church and in our personal lives. Because I think sometimes when we're in our own strength, man, we can fail miserably. God has a way of sometimes our pride will knock us down, right? The word this morning, I asked Jason just to hang with me this morning. Sometimes you just like to have a co-pilot, somebody flying with you. Obviously, you know, God's our strength, our power. He's everything that we need, but sometimes it's nice to have your co-pilot with you. So I'm just going to ask him to hang with me this morning. Courage. I got this picture. Can you throw that picture up there? This is a picture of... Now that's a picture of courage, right? Or is that stupidity? Who thinks that's courage? Raise your hand. Of course you would, Blake. Who thinks that's a little stupid, trying to get your yard mowed when there's a F4 tornado coming into America? That's an actual true picture. This isn't a make-believe. This was in Canada. It was just like, I want to say June the 5th, I believe is when this was. But I say I'm on the stupidity side with that one. But I think... this here statement, William Barclay, he's a biblical scholar, he said there's two kinds of courage. It says there's the reckless courage, which is hardly aware of the danger that it's facing. Now this is kind of reckless courage. I mean, this tornado's coming in the background, he's mowing his yard. But the kind of courage that I want us to look at is the second one that William talks about. He says, and there's a far higher courage, one which knows the peril which stands in its way, but he refuses to be daunted by it. Now, those two courages are kind of on opposite ends. One just says, hey, I don't care, I'm just running crazy. And sometimes that looks like courage because of the of what it looks like and what they do, and it was like, wow, that's awesome. But then there's just courage. It says, man, even in the face of danger, it's like the courage when David went out onto the battlefield with Goliath. I mean, that was a courage. It wasn't a reckless courage. It wasn't a crazy courage. It was, he understood what was at stake. He understood the enemy, and yet he went out on that battlefield with a purpose and a passion and the power of God upon him with the promise of God was going to deliver Goliath. That's the kind of courage that I'm talking about, this kind of courage that says, look, God is with me, and what he commands me to do, where he sends me, I will go, and God will give me the strength and the power and the purpose to do what he's called me to do. Now, we find this, we're still in Acts. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 4. Father, use your word today to unlock us, to tear down strongholds and principalities within us that blocks your truth from being active and alive in us, God. Use it to tear down our strongholds of thinking about and living for the wrong things, God. Give us the strength. Give us the strength. In Jesus' name. Today we're going to talk about this guy, man. He's an awesome guy. His name's Simon Peter. How many of you know that Simon Peter was a little fool of himself? I mean, he thought he understood it all. He's like, Jesus, I'm with you. I'll die for you. I'll go to the grave with you. I'm in your back pocket. There's nothing that can stop us. That was Peter's mentality. How many of you know that Peter denied Jesus 3 times when the moment of truth came down? I mean, between the time those words left his lips and within just a few short hours, he denied Christ in the wee hours of when he was arrested. You ever feel that way, man? There's times where you're just like, yes, I'm going for Jesus. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to give it all I got. Come on, young people. You ever felt that way before? Like you maybe were at a youth camp or your summer or your youth service. Man, you just felt energized and you felt spirit-filled and you felt powerful. And you're like, man, I'm going to live my life for Christ. You ever felt that way probably when you were in high school? And then somehow you get into that place in the classroom or in the hallway and all of a sudden something happened and Jesus didn't seem that cool to you in front of all your friends. Anybody ever feel that way? Come on, help me out here. Just give me a little hand raise. Yeah. Adults, have you ever felt that way? You're going to be strong. You're going after God. I'm abandoning my life. I'm going to be a disciple for Jesus. And you get in a workplace and all of a sudden that courage turns to, I don't know about it. Well, this is where Peter found himself. And let me tell you, a lot of times when we're in that place, it's a whole lot easier to make proclamations and promises when it depends upon ourselves. Let me just tell you, I don't care how strong you think you are, how full of faith you think you are, how mighty you think you are, apart from the power of God, you are weak. You are broken. You don't stand a chance. You don't stand a chance against this enemy that we face in your own strength, in your own power. I mean, you think how many times we've said, I'm not going to do that again. I'm never going to go here. I'm never going to think that. And you somehow find yourself right back in those same places again. And Peter, this great man of faith and full of himself and always spouting off, and finds himself afraid of a servant girl. I mean, there was a servant girl in the court there and says, hey, aren't you the Galilean that was with Jesus? And if you know that whole story, I mean, Peter went so much as to actually say, he cursed. He's like, heck no, I don't know Jesus. I don't so much as even know him. What are you? I'm telling you, when our own strength is trying to lead us, you will fail every time. If you think your own righteousness and your own power and your own understanding, your own good life that you live is going to take you to the place that God wants you to be, we're mistaken. Because there is a power that God gives us that's from Him and Him alone that allows us to be His witnesses. I want to read to you out of Acts chapter 4. I want you to, we're going to be in verse 5. I'm reading out of the New King James today. It says, it came to pass on the next day that their rulers and elders and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest and Cephas and John and Alexander and as many as were the family of the high priest, were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set before them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means has been made well, then let it be known. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given men by which we must be saved. I want to put in just a little bit of perspective here. We're talking about Peter, who was full of himself, full of pride, who got humbled flat on his face. I mean, he was so scared that he denied Christ, even knowing Christ, 3 times. And yet, when Peter was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, he stands here in this place. He's standing before the rulers. And the rulers of that time were like our politicians. They were basically like public officials. They ruled the natural in the natural. And it talks about the elders. And the elders, if you know from the Jewish tradition, elders were the spiritual government. And then you had the scribes, the teachers. And so they had the whole gamut there. Peter stood before those same people who had the power, and just days before, they had crucified Jesus Christ. They had given the word. And now Peter, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, stands before them and gives such a testimony and a witness to God. Now there's only one thing that changed in Peter's life between the day he denied Christ and the day that he stood up before the same people and he proclaimed the message of God, the very gospel message before those people. Now, in perspective, when he stood before that count, those men, it was like somebody here standing before the president or the Senate and trying to, you know, talk to them. It was the same thing. This shows you how major that this event was in Christianity. This was the first beginnings of the church that we are today. That comprises millions of people. And Peter stood in that place, and the only thing that changed in him, and listen, this is what's got to change in us. This is the transition. We've got to embrace what God has done in us. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon Peter, and it changed who he was. Now, I'm going to tell you, the power of God through the Holy Spirit is given to us to be witnesses for God. And if you try to be a witness apart from the power of God, you're going to come up short. Now let me say, to submit your life to the Holy Spirit, is it not a daily submission? You have to get up daily and you have to choose to say, Holy Spirit, I give you my life. I surrender before you. Lead, guide, and direct me today. My ears will hear your voice. I will see what you're doing. You got to make a conscious choice. And the Holy Spirit will give you what you need. And it was in these moments. I love what the Word of God says. How many of you... you know the Word of God when it says the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say in the moment you need them. Sometimes we think we got to have it all worked out and we avoid a situation because we don't think we can say the right thing or do the right thing, but it's the Holy Spirit that empowers you to say the right thing in the moment. Now, isn't that just like God? God puts you in a place without necessarily being prepared, necessarily having your speech wrote out. And it's in that moment that you go like this. You go. You step into that place, and the power of the Holy Spirit gives you the words to say, gives you what to do, gives you a good idea, gives you the words to speak, gives you the courage to say the right thing in that moment. But it's not until you take that step and you get into that situation. Now, how many of you like everything all lined out beforehand? Come on. Let's get real with that. You like to have that list. You like to have a note 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, A, B, C. And if something goes wrong, then I've got plan B with some more points, and you've already worked it out. How many of you do that in your head sometimes, and you just go through this whole scenario, and by the end of that thing, you're like, man, I'm exhausted. I haven't even done anything yet. You know, your mind just races and thinks, and sometimes anxiety and worry will captivate us, and this struggle's going on. But really, the opposite is what needs to happen in these cases when you're witnessing for the Lord, is you find yourself in a place, and God says, I want you to go to that person, or I want you to speak in this situation, and you're like, oh, no, God, I don't have those words. And it's when you step into that place that God begins to come through you. How many of you had that happen before? You, like, felt very under-equipped, very for this task, and you get into that place, and all of a sudden, God begins to release through his Holy Spirit into you, the words, the heart, the attitude to navigate through that situation. And God gets the glory. And that's what we see with Simon Peter, is he's in this place, and what does he do? Instead of bowing out, because look, I mean, this is a very crucial time. Had Peter been accused of something that was a crime, I mean, that would have stopped his ministry right there, because he'd have been thrown into prison. I mean, they literally had the power to execute him at their command. I mean, it could have been detrimental for Christ and the early church. But it was in that moment filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm telling you, that young people, even in those moments, man, if you'll step into a place of maybe it's not exactly comfortable, but if you'll trust God and you step into that place and you'll give God a chance, then he could change everything. Hey, Caitlin, can I call you out this morning? Come here a second. I want Caitlin, and I didn't set this up, so, you know, we're just flowing with the Holy Spirit this morning. I want Caitlin to tell you a little bit about her experience in Texas when you got kidnapped and how you depended on the Lord. Can you do that? Just give us a little testimony. Be ready in season and out of season. Amen. Just give God some glory here, because I just think that whole situation is really, it's kind of like you were in this situation. Maybe you didn't even necessarily mean to be in it, but you trusted the Lord in that. So just tell them what happened.
Yeah. that's really loud. My friend and I just were out of class, and we were going to go eat lunch at Subway in the ghetto. And we walked out, and this man got in a car with us. And we're just like, okay, this just happened. This is a little creepy. And he's, like, telling us to take him somewhere. And we're just like, or I'm the driver, so I'm like, I'm not taking you anywhere. And he looks at me and then grabs my friend. And so he ends up having us drive for like 15, 20 minutes out of Dallas, goes into this little city nearby. It's in Wheatland. And the whole entire time, like, we have this special class in our school, and it's called the Principles of Faith. And I was in a class at the time, and our professor talked to us about having a sudden burst of faith. And he's like, and it will happen at the most random moment. Like, you'll be in a certain service, and then just instantly you just have this faith, and it just expands, and you're like, oh, okay. Or if you get kidnapped. That was our faith. Like, as soon as we got on the highway, I started speaking in tongues, and I started praying over the man. And when you said about the Holy Spirit guides you, just have to take a step, I started speaking words of knowledge of this man, and I basically laid out his whole entire life, how from the time that his father left to the time that he got involved in drugs and alcohol and where he's at now. And
come on.
The God that we serve, he's big. And the love that he has for us and the protection that he pours over us, it's just something that we can't even fathom. It's so amazing. And faith comes if you ask for it.
Well, hey, what happened? I mean.
Oh.
The rest of the story.
Well.
Paul Harvey. How many of you know Paul Harvey?
Come on, I'll know your age in a split second when you raise your hand.
We got out of the car. He was very angry. We prayed over the man. But he gets out of the car and takes my friend's backpack, which has her license, her everything in it. And she comes up to me. She's like, Caitlin, this guy's got, like, all my information. And I'm like, okay. So, like, flesh took over, Holy Spirit went under, and I chased the guy. So, but I didn't catch him because I just realized afterwards what I was doing, and I was kind of out of breath. So, after college, you just, like, eat and... That's what happened.
Freshman 15, right? Sure. Come on. But I'm telling you, like, in that moment, Caitlin, the Holy Spirit began to move in her. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will give you the opportunity if you'll step into it. And sometimes it'll be right there, and Caitlin could have freaked out. She could have started cussing and hitting him. But you hear what she said? She began to pray in the Spirit. Holy Spirit began to give her words of knowledge for this man. Now, Caitlin, did you rehearse that before you didn't rehearse any of that and say, okay, this is what's going to happen when I get kidnapped. No, you don't rehearse it. You find yourself in this moment and you step out and you open your mouth and you begin to witness for Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter did. He was standing before the highest courts and the most influential men and rulers, and he began to speak the things of Christ. And he said, there's no other name. He said, this is Jesus, and we healed this man by the name and the power of Jesus Christ. And wherever you find yourself, sometimes, let me say this, sometimes it's right in your own kitchen with your husband, with your children, where you got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? But let me tell you, that's a place where your flesh can get the best of you. Anybody with me? That's a lot of sometimes it's in our home where we let the flesh lead us. And the Holy Spirit wants to lead us. And let me say, God is preparing you just like he prepared Simon Peter. Sometimes we got to be humbled. But all the time, we got to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Young people, I want to speak to you just for a second. I'm telling you, this is one of the reasons why we shrink in the face of our peer pressure and teens. We got to rely on the Spirit of God. Does it matter how cool you are or think you are? I mean, really, does it really matter? Is God really concerned at how cool you are? Now, I mean, Blaine's got this cool shirt on today. Come here, Blaine. I want you to see this shirt, man. This thing is awesome. Now, check that out. Now, that's a Blaine shirt right there, ain't it? I'm glad he's got his own style. I'm just going to say he did not get that from me, all right? But I'm telling you, God doesn't care about how cool we are. God cares about how obedient we are, how we listen to his voice. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a time, listen, it doesn't matter what your friends think. You think any of your friends are going to be standing there with you? When you're loving God and standing before God, do you think any of those friends are going to care? Let me tell you, If you don't get a hold of it, one of your greatest regrets will be that you didn't live your life for Christ when you get out of high school. That you didn't witness and you didn't live a life of faith in those moments. Because let me tell you, young people, your life has so much power and impact in the lives of teens. What people don't tell you, what the enemy doesn't tell you, is that your life lived in faith for Christ, abandonment to Christ, it actually inspires people. Now your peers may never voice that. They may even make fun of you. But I can guarantee you without a shadow of a doubt that those people that see your life and see you live by conviction and see you live a life that's surrendered to God, I guarantee you in their heart and in their mind, it will impact them in such a way that they will never, ever forget. It'll be 20-year reunion and they'll remember, man, that kid loved Jesus. That young woman was pure. That young woman, she didn't act like everybody else. They'll know that there's something different in your life. But I'm telling you, it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. And listen, this goes to adults too. It's real easy at work to just try to fit in and be a part of whatever's going on. But I'm telling you what, your life, your convictions, the way you live your life can literally change other people. God doesn't have you in those places for no reason. You thought it was about a paycheck. Listen, I'm telling you, God's far more concerned about eternity and people's souls than he is about your bank account. God is concerned about souls, people. And the Holy Spirit will take us places that'll give us the keys to help unlock someone's broken heart. I'm going to tell you, in your life, you always got to find a way to glorify God. It's always got to come back to him. I mean, Peter's life, you see, what we learn with Simon Peter is Peter in the beginning was a whole lot about himself. He wanted everybody to look at him, and he wanted to be the one that, you know, went out and was powerful for Jesus, and he loved Jesus. But what he didn't realize is it wasn't even about him. It was about him being led by the power of God. And that's the beauty of God, is that he will give you the things that you need when you need it. And all we got to do is follow after him. I want to bring it down to this, that when Peter finished his testimony in front of this awesome, amazing, powerful group of people, listen, in the scripture in verse 13, it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that these men were uneducated, common men, and they were astonished. And what I realized in this part of the study is that they didn't mean that they were ignorant people. They unintelligent. They meant that they hadn't been educated like in a religious setting. They weren't like Pharisees. They hadn't been to school. But they realized they were just common folks. And here's what they said. They were astonished, and it says, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. They recognize that these men had been with Jesus. Don't you think in your life that that would be the greatest compliment that someone could pay you? Is when they've been around you and they've been in your presence and they find themselves with someone else that they say, man, that's Sheila. Man, I know that girl's been with Jesus. I mean, isn't that the greatest compliment someone could pay you, that they would compare your life to the life of Jesus? And I think that's the beauty of what God's trying to do, is we lose ourselves in there because we find Christ. We go low and we exalt him. And the word of God promises that if we'll lift up Christ, what will it do? If we'll exalt Christ, what will it do? It will draw what? All men. It'll draw all men if we'll lift up Christ. If we'll step out in that place and we'll let the Holy Spirit give us the words to say. It says, and so they recognized that Peter and John had been with Jesus. Listen, the only explanation for their courage and their amazing testimony, it was so clear that they had been with Jesus. Listen, if we'll seek the power of the Spirit, and if we'll testify and witness boldly for the Lord, I'm telling you what, there's a culture out here that'll say the same thing about you. They'll begin to see Jesus. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about Jesus. Come on, we all know there's a difference, isn't there, between religion, legalism, and Jesus. I want to end today with this one short little story. Because we all have the same opportunity, don't we? We've all been given a life. Every single one of you that are in here today are alive. You've been given a life. Are we gonna play it safe? Young people, you got even got more time ahead of you. Possibly. I mean, tomorrow's not guaranteed, so. Are you going to play it safe, or are you going to live a life of courage? Are you going to live a life that's totally bound by the things of this earth, or are you going to live with a heavenly perspective? Are you totally going to be dominated and captivated by the things of this world? Or are you going to be captivated by the things of heaven? Are you going to invest your life in the eternal, or are you going to invest your life in the temporary? And that's a question that we all have to ask ourselves, and the level of our belief in that will determine our surrender to that. And I don't know about you, but I want to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to surrender my life. I want to step out into that unknown. I want to take that step and put myself in a place where God has to deliver. I mean, I want to be a witness, and I think you want to be a witness, that people walk away from you and say, man, they've been with Jesus. But sometimes we live our life, and we live with such a grip on it, and we hold on so tightly to this life, even though it's temporary. Michelle, do you think you can grasp a vapor? Do you think you can hold on to a handful of sand? I mean, this is like our lives. You can't grasp them. They fall right through. They disappear. And so the best thing to do is to live our life courageously, with purpose, with abandonment, obedient to the Holy Spirit of God. Would it be better to live 30 years sold out, die in the prime of your life, carrying your cross? Or would it be better to live 100 years and gain the whole world and forfeit your soul? There's no comparison. I mean, Jesus Christ died when he was how old, Sonia? 33 years old. That's a difference. On the front of your bulletin, how many of you saw the picture of the young lady with the flower? How many of you know who that is? Is there anybody that knows who that is? Was anybody wondering who that was? Anybody wondering who that is? Her name is Kirsty Bowden. Kirsty Bowden. I know some of you thought I misspelled that, didn't you? You thought it was supposed to be Christy, didn't you? No, it's Kirsty Bowden. She was working as a nurse in London when the three attackers drove into the pedestrians on the London Bridge, and then they stabbed people throughout Borough Market. According to her family, she saw the attack. And she didn't run away and hide. She didn't value her life so much that it was so much more than anybody else's life. What she did is she ran towards the attack. She ran towards the danger in an effort to help people. She was a nurse. That's a nurse's heart, isn't it? Come on, shouldn't that be a Christian's heart? To run towards the danger, to run towards the mess, to run towards the sickness, to run towards the disease. Because you've got a cure. You've got what it takes to bring healing and clarity and peace to the situation. But she ran towards the danger in an effort to help people, and she paid for her compassion with her life. She died. She gave it. She could have ran and hid and still been alive. But her family said of her, they said, "We are so proud of her brave actions, which demonstrates how selfless, caring, and heroic she was, not only on that night, but throughout her life." Let me ask you this morning, will you run towards the mess? Will you run towards someone's brokenness? Will you run towards someone's situation? You're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And our heart should be to release healing, to release the kingdom, to live in the eternal, and bring heaven to earth. Amen? Listen, we seldom get to choose how long we live, right? We seldom get to choose how long we live, but we can decide how courageously we're going to live. We can choose the kind of life that we're going to live. Will you live a life that's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? Will you step into those places? Or will you play it safe? Are we happy enough to be saved, or are we desperate enough that we're going to take every single possible person with us? Amen, Tim? God's entrusted us, hasn't he? Let's tell people about Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us be his witnesses. Let us be so filled with the fragrance of God that people say, man, they've been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. Let us not be afraid. Let us not shrink back. Let us stand up with courage. And just like Kirsty, let us run too. Let us run too. Amen? Come on, let's pray this morning. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you so much, God, that you've given us passion and a purpose here on this earth. That, God, we don't have to be satisfied with ordinary. That we don't have to be trapped in a place of complacency. But, God, that we can give our lives for a purpose. And whether we live or whether we die, God, we can truly live for our faith. For the courage, for the principles of God. And no matter what age we are, God, you've equipped us and empowered us for such a time as this. And God, we give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.